Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Stack Overflow podcast. I'm your host, Ben Popper, Director of Content here at Stack Overflow, joined as I often am by my colleague and collaborator, Ryan Donovan, who edits our blog and manages our newsletter. Hey, Ryan.
Good morning, Ben. How are you?
I'm good. So you and I are no stranger to talking with folks who are learning to code. Today, we're going to be talking with someone who teaches coding. And over the last few years, Stack Overflow has increasingly moved into a space where it's experimenting with not just questions and answers, but can we suggest great content to you through our blog, and recently rolled out EdTech partnerships with Udemy, where if you go to a question about Python or JavaScript, it's going to show you some recommended courses that might match your interests in terms of language or technology, and hopefully also your level. So that's kind of the whole learning journey. You know, you're coming here for a question, but maybe you're in the market to upskill in a bunch of other ways. So we're lucky enough today to have a senior instructor, someone who's been doing this for a while, Bharat Tipireddy from Udemy, here on the show. Bharat, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Ben. Hi, Ryan, and hi, everyone.
So I guess to get started, tell us just a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? How'd you get into software? Yeah, you know, how'd you kind of make your way into a career in this industry?
Yeah, so I have started my career as a software developer back in 2002. And then I have progressed in the world of Java. I have worked with Java for quite some years, Java, Spring, and all the frameworks that are involved for almost 15 years. The initial 3 years was in India. Then I have moved to US. I lived in Philly. I worked in Philly for companies like Siemens, Oracle, Primavera when I was in Philly, mostly in the healthcare domain and in the banking space as well. Then I worked in San Diego for a little bit, then in Austin as well. The last role I took up was a software architect role back in 2015. After that, I got into teaching. I was doing consulting for a little bit. Parallelly, I was also teaching online. I have started with YouTube. And then when Udemy came up, I signed up for Udemy and I never looked back. For the last 6 years, it has been an incredible journey with Udemy. I have more than 500,000 students now across 208 countries.
Wow.
Yeah, that's where I am right now.
So when you first started off, you were first posting to YouTube. What were you hoping to achieve? Did you think it would be a side gig? Were you hoping to just build your career network? Were you just experimenting? Like when you first did that, what was in your mind?
I've always loved sharing what I learn, not only in the tech space, mostly in the tech space because I'm a techie, but in everything I learn, I have been sharing it with others, right? From my
college. You've got cooking classes on the side?
Yoga.
Yoga. Okay, yeah. Great.
Yeah, a few other things, but mainly in the tech space. So my friends used to tell me this in college, but I never took it seriously. Even when I joined the IT industry, I used to set up meetings and I used to teach my teammates or share with my teammates whatever I used to learn. So somehow I love sharing and teaching. So that's when I thought I have to expand it. And that's when I went to YouTube to start with, because there was no Udemy, there were no other platforms. So I thought YouTube is a great opportunity for me to expand and reach out to more audience. So it's kind of both. One, I wanted to put out what I'm interested about. And secondly, the money aspect as well. I wanted to develop a passive income stream as well. So this allowed me to do both of those.
So it seems like you were kind of a natural teacher from the beginning, but with all your experience coding, what's the difference between sitting down and writing code and then teaching other people to learn to write code?
Yeah, I learned that a little late once I got into it. Teaching the concepts or theory was not that difficult for me. And one thing I love to do is to present anything I learn in the easiest possible manner. Otherwise, I don't teach it. I share it only if I can put it in the simplest possible manner. And most of the courses I have out there, most of my 35 courses are like that. That's what differentiate them from other courses. But when it comes to hands-on coding, it was a challenge for me to code and parallelly explain it in the initial days. It took me some time to get a hold of it, but then it became natural. So definitely, coding is one thing, and then teaching what we code is a completely different ballgame. And also, I have to make sure that I'm showing them the best practices, not just coding, but the right way of doing it, the secured way of doing it. the standard guidelines in the industry.
You mentioned wanting to have a passive income stream. When you were doing that on YouTube, was that through, you know, just advertising revenue? Did you have sponsorships or courses that you were directing people to? How did you monetize in that original form? And then we'll talk a little bit about how that works with Udemy.
Initially, it was just the ad revenue that I used to get on YouTube. But as I said, I have started with YouTube around 2012. Then for a couple of years, I've seen a lot of feedback that I used to get. I used to improve my videos. I used to improve my teaching. It helped me when Udemy started. So Udemy started around 2015. So I was ready for it because I know what I should be doing, what I shouldn't be doing, the way I talk, the way I teach. The only revenue was ad revenue. I didn't have any sponsors at that point. Maybe I had around 12,000 subscribers. But that helped me with the very first course I did on Udemy. So YouTube was pushing my subscribers as students on Udemy when I started. They all were ready to take up my courses. That's how it happened.
You talked about coming up with the simplest way to convey a concept. How do you use that to build the whole course?
So I do a lot of research. Whenever I pick a topic, I first pick a topic. In the initial days, at least, I was taking up a topic based on my own experience and what I love to do. That's how I did my initial courses. But then once I had a student base, I usually ask them what they would like to see from me. What would be the next course I should be doing for them? That's a great way of starting up a topic. Once I pick a topic, I do a lot of research on it. I see what is already available, the content that is already out there. What are the pros of it? What are the cons? I look at all the reviews of other courses. I see, you know, what is good, what gaps I can fill in. And then I take up the curriculum. The way I always structured my curriculum was dividing the curriculum into logical sections. And each section builds on top of the section prior to it. So as they gain knowledge, they'll be able to apply that in the very next section. And I keep my lectures to the point. I'll not be, you know, beating around the bush or going away from the topic. Most of my lectures, when it comes to theory or even the practical, are to the point, and I just close it there. So that's what has been helping me over time. And each section or each topic is followed by quizzes. At the end of every section, there will be a quiz so that they can evaluate the knowledge that they have gained from the section. And also assignments where they will have to work on an assignment on their own. I'll not be helping them. Along with theory, there will be a lot of hands-on lectures where they'll have to work with me in parallel. They'll have to code with me in parallel. Other than that, there will be assignments where I make sure that they will not get any help, but they will have to do the assignment, submit it for my review. So I'll be reviewing their assignments every day as well.
How do you manage to keep up with and grade assignments for 500,000 students? That sounds overwhelming.
Yeah, it happened over time. It's not like every day. I do get a lot of assignments every day. I use some help in my office. I have a couple of other guys who help me out with
teaching
evaluating
assistants.
The teaching assistants. Exactly. Yeah. So they do help me with the assignments and small corrections I have to do.
Can you give us an example of some of the logical concepts that they use to build on each other?
There are two types of courses. One is the beginner's course, and then the other is the advanced or the mid-level course. Three types, basically. But if it's a beginner's course, any course for that matter, initially it will be the fundamentals of the topic. So if it's a simple language course like Java, JavaScript, or Python, so most of these courses, the initial part will be the syntax. Even before we get there, we'll have to tell them what it is, why exactly do we need Python, what are the advantages of Python over other programming languages, and then the basics of Python, the language syntax. And once they're familiar with the nuts and bolts of it, they can easily hop on to the advanced topics where they can apply their knowledge while working on various programs. And also, I take them to the OOPS concepts, which are a little advanced, inheritance, polymorphism. So this is how I usually build them. First, give them the language basics, let them enjoy the course, let the fear go away, fear of coding or fear of new language. And then I take them into advanced topics like OOPS or database connectivity, networking, and all that. Even there, I first give them the simple examples, and then I show them the real world examples so that it will not be overwhelming for them.
You talked a little bit about, you know, weaving in the practical and the theoretical topics. how do you balance those out? You know, you said you start off with the syntax, but then how do you get them to understand, you know, inheritance and OOP through that?
So as I said earlier, some of the lectures are theoretical, especially when we are starting off with a course. We'll have to tell them what it is about, why they need to take it up, and what that language or framework is and why they have to do it. And even when we get to the syntax, we do have to show them why exactly do we need a conditional statement or why exactly do we need a for loop. And then I show them the syntax, and immediately the following lecture will be a complete hands-on lecture, where they will have to practice the hands-on lecture in the IDE along with me. So there will be a software setup section for all my courses right at the beginning. I will show them all the required software, how they are going to do their coding in the rest of the course. So as soon as I finish a theory lecture, the next following lecture will be a complete hands-on lecture where they apply the knowledge, work on the program, and get it totally. And then followed by an assignment so that they can ensure that they have really learned not just the theory part of it, but practically. And I increase the intensity. As we progress in the course, I'll be giving them more practical examples, more real-time examples, instead of just simple, you know, printing the numbers, or, you know, instead of small programs, I give them bigger programs and more real-time coding challenges.
I guess one of the things that interests me is you're working with students maybe from all over the world. What language are you focused on? And do you feel like the same approach is universal, or do you have approaches that you gear for students based on where they're coming from in the world, what their experience is, what their goals might be? Maybe they're still in computer science class, or maybe they're going into their career. How do you fine tune for different students?
So again, I have seen three categories. Number one, college students, or, you know, even school students who want to learn a new programming language. I have seen students who are just out of college or in the final year of college who are seeking jobs, who are ready for their career. And I have also seen developers who are experienced and who are switching technologies, or they want to ensure that, you know, they fill in all the gaps in their technology and apply the knowledge on real-time projects. And my courses are structured that way as well. There are completely beginner courses, which are even for a school student. For example, Python for Beginners can be taken by anybody. It can be taken by a data scientist. It can also be taken by a college student or an experienced developer who want to switch to Python. So yes, each of their expectations are completely different. But at the same time, depending on the topic they are picking, there are certain prerequisites which they need to have, and also a vision of what exactly they are going to do once they learn it. For example, if we pick Python again, Python for Beginners just gives them the bare bones, nuts and bolts of Python, what exactly Python as a language is and how to use it. But then they can specialize on a particular topic, like Django, for example, is another course which requires Python as a prerequisite. They have to have the knowledge of Python to take the Django course, or even AWS Lambda for Python developers is another course where they can learn AWS Lambda and how to, you know, deploy to AWS Cloud or AWS Lambda environment, but they need to have Python as a prerequisite. So depending on the expectations and depending on where they are, you know, in their life and career, they'll have to pick up the right course. So when we put up the course description and the course promo videos, we ensure that they understand that clearly. And irrespective of, you know, different places, I do see that most of the industry, the IT industry, the structure is very similar. Even if they're coming from, you know, different parts of the world, the expectations are not that different. Yes, it can slightly change, but most of the times from the reviews, what I see is my courses have been helping and setting the right expectations.
You started with Java. That was the first programming language I saw also. But I think a lot of your courses are in Python, is that right?
Java and Python. I started with Java. So initially, for the first 3-4 years, it was mostly Java, Spring, unit testing in Java, lots of frameworks. Java is an ocean. So I've done almost, I think, 10 to 12 courses of mine are on Java. And then I've taken up Python. And Python has its own frameworks like Django REST framework. And then some courses on DevOps as well, like Docker, Kube,
Do you think one or the other is better for new beginners?
Yeah, from my recent experience, at least, I've worked in Java for a long time, so I'm a little biased when it comes to Java. Maybe since I started my career with Java, I love it. But I would say Python is a lot easier for anybody who is starting up with programming, even if it's a school, college kid, or just somebody who wants to start their career in software. They have a college degree and they want to get into data science, artificial intelligence, but they do want to program, then I think Python is the way to go.
Is there anything in particular over the years that you've been doing this that sticks out, like a lesson or an experience you had with a student where something really clicked or they were able to go on to get a job or get into the school they wanted? Do you get to hear about the impact your courses have had? And what are some of the things that, make you feel proud and that you kind of remember from this journey?
Since this is online training, that's very important for me to really see what exactly the students are feeling or how exactly I have impacted their lives. Having reviews on the courses helps me because I get hundreds of reviews every day on my courses. And most of them write directly in the review that they have cracked a job interview or it has helped me build a project on his job. And college students could finish their projects. Most of the reviews, I can see the feedback in the reviews, and some of them post it on LinkedIn as well. So when they finish a course and it helped them, they do write up a long post on LinkedIn. They send me messages on Udemy. So I get a lot of feedback that keeps me, going. For the last 6 years, if there is one thing that kept me going, motivating, is that. That's a great feeling. I think that's something we get when we teach or share whatever we learn.
Do you have a favorite course that you've put together?
Favorite course? One of my very first courses is a topic that I loved for years. I think that's why I went for the topic. It's Java Web Services. Covers both SOAP and REST web services. I've loved working on APIs and web services. So that's one of the first courses. And within the first 1 month, I could see the minimum revenue I really targeted for and also a lot of students joining it. So that's like a dream come true when I started with and when I switched from YouTube to Udemy. I would say that's one of my first favorite courses. And 2 years back, I have done another course, which is DevOps Tools, which involves a lot of DevOps tools, right from Maven, the build tools, all the way to Docker and Kubernetes, all in one course. That's one course I have enjoyed. And last but not the least, the AWS Lambda for Python Developers course, which I have done last year. That's also one of my favorite courses because I knew nothing about AWS Lambda when I started that course, but I took that as a challenge, and that's a great way of learning because you want to teach now. You will have to ensure that you get everything right. Otherwise, your students are going to question you. They are going to write reviews. So you have to ensure that you got all grounds covered. So, yeah.
Right. What do you enjoy about this as a full-time career versus, working in-house as a software engineer? Is it the flexibility? Is it just that you've always been drawn to teaching? For folks who are listening who are considering this, what do you like about it? And what would you recommend to people who might be interested in following in your path?
I still love coding. I take up consulting once in a while. I love doing it. But I love teaching. I love sharing whatever I've been doing. And having passive income especially gives you a lot of time. And also you can do a lot of other things which you really love to do. I have been traveling a lot for the last few years.
Yoga.
Not just yoga. You're going to see me in a film that is coming out in a couple of months. I'm acting in a South Indian film as well.
So, oh, amazing. Well, that's exciting. Yeah. Are you playing the role of a programmer or something completely different?
No. It's completely different. I'm playing a role of an Ayurvedic doctor.
Awesome.
It's a crime comedy.
Okay. Is there a link to a trailer we can put in the show notes?
The trailer will be out in April, but I can share a few pictures from the making.
Okay,
or making
very
videos
cool.
If you want to check them out.
And when you say passive income, are you still generating nice income off those old YouTube videos or those early courses? Like they just continue to generate in the background, the long tail?
Yes, the YouTube, it's very minimum because I haven't been spending a lot of time there since I have taken up Udemy for the last 6 years. Right. But all the courses I have on Udemy, all the 35 courses, they do generate income even now. Even the very first course that, because I keep updating the courses to the latest versions as the versions are released. So yeah, if there is anyone who are interested in taking up teaching, then you shouldn't wait. You should just start it right away. And YouTube or Udemy or any other platform, just get started. Start sharing, you know, whatever space you want to, and definitely it will kick off. Just give it some time.
Okay, terrific. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. It is that time of the show. We want to shout out someone who came on Stack Overflow and helped to save some knowledge from the dustbin of history. A lifeboat badge was awarded 7 hours ago to Desert Knot. They came on and gave a question and answer. The question had a score of -3 or less, but now it's got a score of 3 or more, and that answer has a score of 20 or more. What is the meaning of exclamation and question marks in Jupyter Notebook? All right. I won't quiz you now, Bharat, but we will put the answer in the show notes. And thanks again to Desert Knot for coming on Stack Overflow, and congrats on your lifeboat badge. I'm Ben Popper. I'm the director of content here. You can always find me on Twitter at Ben Popper. If you have questions or suggestions for the program, email us podcast@stackoverflow.com. And most important, if you like what you hear, why don't you leave us a rating or a review? It really helps.
I'm Ryan Donovan. I edit the blog here at Stack Overflow. You can find the blog at stackoverflow.blog. And if you want to reach out to me, you can find me on Twitter at rthordonovan.
And this is Bharat Thipireddy. You can add me on LinkedIn. You'll find me on Udemy. If you just Google for Bharat Thipireddy, you'll find my website as well, which is bharatthipireddy.com, which has a ton of links to my courses, my YouTube videos, and all that.
Awesome. All right, everybody, be sure to check that out, and we will talk to you soon.